Welcome to the Live With Intent podcast with Thomas Reichart and Justin Tomlinson, authors of Live With Intent and architects of the LWI Learning Pathway. This week, Justin and Thomas explore the principle of self-confidence with Sam Vaughn. Sam is at the forefront of a radical filing process transformation. During his time as the Faster Filing business leader and now the filing management hub lead at Roche, the drug filing process from clinical research to submission to government regulators has been reduced by 50%. This phenomenal achievement supports bringing new healthcare solutions to patients faster. Sam's approach to leading change and transformation in large global organization is both refreshing and effective.
Sam, great to have you with us today. To me, you are an example of trust. You're the person, the colleague, the friend, the associate that I trust 100,000%. And I know many people working with you, and it's your legacy. They would go, you know, they would go all in because they trust you. They trust your competence. They trust your personality, your character. Is that conscious for you that you build trustful relationships? Because it is something that's highly visible that you're highly trusted.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It's not conscious. I don't think about, you know, what am I doing to build trust? All I can do is be myself. And if I think about, you know, creative competencies or skills, the one that really, really means the most to me is authenticity. You know, and you know, if that's challenged, then I become very not at ease with myself. You know what I mean? And this was one of my experiences with leadership back in the day, and why I decided to take a different direction was, it just felt that I was not being authentic to myself, and more importantly, to the people that I was engaging with. I didn't feel like I knew enough to be in this position of leadership and to be a role model for people that reported into me. I felt like I needed more. And so again, you know, with regards to trust and being conscious, all I really am doing is being very honest with myself and being very authentic in my engagements with the teams and the people around me. And, you know, I mean, I don't know that it works for everybody all of the time, and sometimes others need a bit more and it takes a little while longer. In other words, they want to see it, you know, over time and not in small bursts. But by and large, I've been pretty successful in my relationships with people by really just being very, very open and honest. And, you know, and that works, you know. Interestingly enough, years ago, I was doing I was the global head of a function within biometrics, and I had just taken over this new function. And this new function, I knew nothing about what this function did, you know. But because it was a leadership opportunity that was offered to me, I felt like I need to do this, and so I kind of went into that thinking, I'm going to be this top leader, you know, whatever that looked like, whatever that was. I just thought I'm going to be blow, you know, knock this out of the park. But very quickly, some of the people that I was now, you know, kind of driving, designing and driving the strategy for a very specialist group, were looking at me with a little bit of, okay, we're going to sit back for a while and watch what your intentions are. And I felt this, you know, it felt different. And I sat down with one of them and I said, listen, you know, kind of, what's working, what's not working. And one of them, you know, was, I love this, never forgot it. One of them actually turned around and said, listen, You know, Sam, sometimes people are just going to give you their trust. And this is brilliant until you break it. And then it's very difficult to regain that trust. However, for me and for others in this group, you have to earn their trust. And I was like, whoa, hold on a minute. That stopped me in my tracks. You know, I knew that I was under pressure. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I had the tools immediately to know how to navigate that. And I probably, you know, if I'm going to be truthful and fully open, I struggled for a little while trying to find the real me in that experience. And as I say, that experience, I stuck with it for 2 years, and I think that we did some good stuff. But I, in the end, that was one of the major drivers for me thinking about, well, what's next for me? And that was about kind of trying to broaden and deepen my experiences of across the system and not just part of the overarching system. And so yeah, trust is it's such an amazing opportunity, but I am aware of it, and therefore I guess I'm conscious of it, but I don't read about what I can do and how I can do it. I try to be myself, and hopefully through being myself, and now that I'm more rounded, I guess I feel more at ease with, you know, kind of my depth and breadth of experience. I hope that by being authentic and meeting people halfway, that essentially that in builds trust and builds a collective spirit that enables us together to actually really make a difference.
Sam, you strike us as being self-confident. I personally, most of all, love your sense of humor. But how did you get there? How did you build that, you know, resilience, that confidence, so that you can support teams also in tough transformations?
So this is one of those I'm going to have to go way back, actually. And it's kind of it's a nurture thing that over time and reflecting backwards is enabled me to be true to myself. You know, when I was 17 years of age, I joined the British military for all manner of personal reasons. I decided that was the route that I was going to go. And I was just, I am not your, you know, classic soldier, quite frankly. And I knew this from the very first moments that I walked into the barracks room, that actually I was probably way out of my depth. But actually, I kind of immediately found a way to exist, and slowly but surely, I was able to be successful. Successful being, I ended up being qualifying as in the British, in a particular area within the British military. You know, that took a whole year of me being basically pulled through that process, you know, and I came out of that at the other end. And when I look back at that, I thought to myself, you know what, with a little bit of application, there is almost nothing that I don't think I can achieve, quite frankly, because it was so, so alien to me. And yet here I was at the end of that. One of only, I think, 13 people out of a group of originally 100 people that had made it all the way through. And so certainly what that the fire that lit inside of me was simply, you know, if I apply myself, I think I can do most anything, whatever that is. And that's remained by and large with me forever. And my career journey is not classic. I didn't enter healthcare because I was passionate about saving people's lives. I fell into healthcare because there was a niche in there that I thought I might be able to, and that was data and the science of data, that I thought I might be able to do something with it. And the thing that I really enjoyed about joining healthcare was it was so vast. There was nothing that would get in my way from within this within this industry. You know, you know, if your computer broke down, the next day there was another computer on your desk. You know, no excuses. You know, you will have all of the tools that you need in order to do the job. And I just really, I think that was the next evolution of me was, you know, now I'm in a place where I will have everything I need to be successful. And now where am I going to go and how am I going to navigate that space and that opportunity to, you know, basically contribute. And you know, I did that for a number of years in biometrics. And I realized, you know, after I think 14, 15 years in biometrics and the science of data, that actually for me at least, my next journey was understanding more about the whole and less about a piece of that whole. And that sent me into transformation. And, you know, as I say, over the course of 7 years in transformation, I've been all over the business in the affiliates, in quality, in safety, in operations. I've learned a lot about how it all comes together. You know, and actually the micro cultures that exist within an organization as vast as Roche and Genentech, and all of those things have just been personal growth. I mean, and that really is what gives me my inner confidence. And the other thing is I don't take myself too seriously, and so I want to enjoy the work that I do. I want to enjoy the people that I'm privileged to be exposed to, and I want to work with people and together in order to make a tangible difference. And so that's essentially what's driving me. It took me quite a few years before I was at ease and at peace with myself with regards to my journey, because I could have been just about climbing the ladder and being successful hierarchically, and I had gone a long way in that regards, but I decided to step back from that and expand through breadths and depths of experience. And that again has been one of the great learnings for me is you know, listen to yourself, and when you hear yourself saying I need to do something different, what is it? Don't talk yourself out of taking those opportunities, taking those chances. And as I say, I had 7 years doing transformation, and they were incredible 7 years. And now, of course, I've gone back into the business. I've evolved from the business, the transformation back into regulatory to lead the filing management hub, the sustainment of the legacy of faster filing. And again, why would I want to do that? What was my purpose? How would I be impassioned? And it really is about the next evolution for me is the difference, the realization in the transformation space that installation is one thing, realization is really where the changes and the differences are made. And that's what I'm after. Wherever that takes me, that's really where I want to invest my time and energy.
It's really great, Sam, to see what happens to people when they chase their passion and what that inner voice is telling them versus some ladder somewhere. And essentially, those ladders are more and more disappearing anyway. But before we leave the military piece, Thomas told me you fell out of a helicopter. Is that true?
Yeah, I got to say, true. I did my research, right? I mean, as a German, you know, Justin and I, we did our research, and you're the only one we know that you fell out of a flying helicopter and survived.
Yeah, I have to say, Thomas, I must be careful what I say to you over a glass of wine somewhere in the world, because who knows when that's going to break out. Absolutely. You know what? Back in the days, I'm one of the I don't know whether you would class it lucky or unlucky. I'm lucky because I survived. Unlucky, though, because I fell out of the aircraft. You know, it is a funny story. My reality is that honestly, there's probably nothing I could have done differently that would have changed me falling out of that helicopter. You know what I mean? It was just, it just happened. And actually, more importantly, is what happened when I landed on the ground and how did I respond to clearly something that I wasn't expecting to happen to me. And instincts took over. You know what I mean? My immediate instincts were get up and run for cover. And that's essentially... Because I was in a place where the helicopter was not able to land immediately. It had to go away and come back down. And where I was, I guess you would call dangerous. And essentially, you know, my instincts took over. How do I protect myself in that moment? And of course, I never lived it down. The military has no... You know, once you've done something, they never forget it. And so I was always ridiculed about that type of thing. Whenever I got on a helicopter, everyone would move away from me, all of that good stuff. So, yeah.
But what does that teach us about how can we prepare young leaders and new leaders in the challenges ahead of them? I mean, inside and outside of helicopters.
You know, sometimes no matter how well prepared you are, how organized you are, how you follow kind of, you know, the guidelines, whatever it is, sometimes, you know, life is going to throw you a curveball. And actually, it really is about how you respond in those moments that really develop you as a human being, as an individual, as a team member, and so forth and so on. And you know, sometimes, you know, certainly when you get to a position of leadership, people can't, I guess, look at you and they're looking for you for guidance and mentorship and so forth and so on. And actually, you know, I don't have all of the answers for people, and I don't know. And I think that's something that there's a moment in time where I think an individual realizes that actually I'm in control. I have some control over my environment, my space, how I contribute, where I go to contribute, and so forth and so on. And just, you know, be comfortable with that and take advantage of that when all of a sudden you realize that this is how I become successful, how I contribute, how I will make a difference as part of a, you know, again, I'll use the word ecosystem, as part of an ecosystem that is the healthcare and pharma industry, as vast as it is.
As I think of you, you know, the expression of a trailblazer comes into my head, right? And as you're trailblazing forward, as you're putting your energy in full force forward, as you're known, what are the things that are flying at you? What are you seeing today? What's happening in the industry? What's happening in your role in the transformations that you're seeing from your trailblazer cockpit?
A great question. And it's interesting, actually. Naturally, I'm somebody who likes to focus quite far forward. I'm always looking, what does the end look like? And so I rarely indulge in what's right in front of me. It almost happens fluidly. But actually, you know, where I am currently is closing out a program that's been ongoing for 4 years, and essentially now opening up and leading the sustainment of that last 4 years of investment. And actually that's requiring quite a lot of right here and now thinking in order to really just set it up and install it so that we can really start to getting into actually really truly bringing value through this new opportunity. And so, you know, that's kind of really what's consuming a lot of me and my space, is just really thinking about how can I install the function that is the filing management hub, so that really we can not only install the new filing ecosystem, but most importantly, that we truly navigate to a position of true realization over time. And I'm probably going to refer to, in my opinion, the differences between installation and realization a few times through our conversation today, because that's one of the kind of the I guess the personal ahas for me on this particular program is really now appreciating not just installing solutions and new ways of working, but actually culturally, behaviorally, the mindsets. How do we actually bring all of those forward? So essentially, you know, in the future, sooner rather than later, what we're doing is truly using the new ecosystem. And it's kind of natural. We've transformed.
So Sam, if you fully realize the value you're hoping to create, what will be different? What will that value look like?
I mean, and maybe this is just how I, kind of function, but, you know, for me to be impassioned about something, I need to understand its purpose. What is it and what can I do in that space? Once I've connected with the purpose, then with that comes my personal energy, with that comes actions, with actions comes results. One of the things with Faster Filing that I really connected with very, very quickly was, you know, kind of one, we're accelerating and therefore we're able to bring medicines to patients faster. And also, of course, there's a commercial value associated with that. One, we intend to do it sustainably. In other words, people will be able to do the work that we need them to do without, you know, burnout. And essentially in doing so, they're inner satisfaction, their own journeys will be more rewarding for them. And of course, what we continue to not compromise the industry kind of leading standard that are the submissions of the Roche and Genentech dossiers. And so for me, you know, we have accelerated from, you know, over 4 years. We have a new ecosystem that in the past delivered at 26.4 weeks, but now delivers at 13 weeks. That's over, we've halved the amount of time it takes to deliver our filings to our regulators. And of course, that enables them ideally to, and hopefully to approve our medicines, which means that our medicines get into the patient populations sooner rather than later. And I guess the difference, the realization is that actually it's not the minority, but the majority, if not the all of our medicines and all of our filings are able to deliver as fast as possible, as sustainably as possible, with the quality as desired. So that's the value. That's for me what really makes a difference. And that's the purpose that gave me the passion that I alluded to with regards to me coming on board of Faster Filing 3 years ago.
So for those last 3 years, you were in the engine rooms of making filings faster, in the role of an internal consultant, a core team member, in leadership assignment, and in the assignment of program managing. In that time, you've seen tremendous talent, tremendous passion in people, and a wide spectrum of competent enablers to make filings faster. But what was the key learning for you? What's the essence of what do we need to do in order to be ready for that future?
I mean, honestly, I've done quite a few large transformation programs whilst at Roche over the years, considerable transformation programs. And, you know, whenever I reflect on a positive journey versus one that was maybe more challenging, a lot of it is to do with the people dynamics. How can we create an environment that enables the people to thrive? That people want to join you on the journey, they want to contribute, and that when they are with you, that you give them the room that they need in order to thrive and do what they do best, give what they can give best to the opportunity. And so certainly for me, this most recent experience with faster filing, the greatest satisfaction is over the course of the years, how much stronger the team have become through the work that we've been doing. And like with any program, it's a bit of a roller coaster. You have your ups and your downs and you have your loops and all of the rest of it. But essentially through all of those journeys, I think the team always remained faithful to the vision. Why are we doing what we do? And I think that that vision was so powerful that actually, you know, people were willing to work with one another, even though there were quite considerable differences on occasion, because essentially what we were doing was so more important than purely, you know, our individual roles or our individual opinions within the actual program's journey. And I do think that, you know, leadership, and Karen Jones, who was the original business lead for Faster Filing, really set that standard very, very early. I know when I joined the program, I felt almost immediately invited to engage and contribute and to bring whatever it was that at that time she was unaware of to our table. And I mean, for me anyway, that was just like, it was kind of like opening a menu and saying, you know what, I'm going to choose the very best of what's on this menu today. And essentially, I'm really going to enjoy the experience of actually contributing and working within that environment. And that was me. But I saw that in so many others within the life cycle of the Faster Filing program.
I mean, I too remember the first session, the first times and the first interactions with Karen and the team members. And she really had clout. She was a phenomenon to get the high performance team together. I'd be interested to learn from you. What's the number one thing you learned from Karen?
The thing that I've really appreciated about Karen is Karen knew her strengths, and Karen was also very aware of the gaps. You know, in transformation, I mean, I think Faster Filing was the first kind of enterprise-wide transformation, I think, that Karen was involved with. And I think that she realized that, you know, undertaking such an opportunity meant that you had to surround yourself with the very best people that would bring, you know, breadth and depth and different experiences, diversity to the operations that would be that program team. And I think Karen's journey over the course of the 4 years grew and grew positively. And she would continue to make bold, difficult decisions because it was the right thing to do, because again, the vision, the end, what would be delivered was so much more important than, you know, what Karen wanted to do or how Karen wanted to do it, or relationships that may have been, you know, on occasion at tension with one another. So certainly the great learning for me from Karen was just to observe someone who was comfortable using others to collectively move things forward. And I think that that happened consistently over the course of the years that I was on the program. We saw a number of evolutions within the program over the years, and every one of those evolutions completely changed the dynamic of the program and really catapulted the program forward in the right direction.
Sam, how did you experience the transformation over the last 4 years? Where were some of the pivotal moments for you?
I think people realized that everybody had to come together to actually make this successful. And I think the journey was at first one of caution. You know, do we really believe that we can achieve what we're hearing needs to be done? And will we be able to join all of this together and effectively really truly accelerate sustainably, whatever that would look like over the course of time? And you know what? It was just through ongoing, consistent engagement using the right, you know, a diverse set of approaches to actually bring leadership management, individual contributors along the journey together. And I won't pretend it was on occasion, you know, like pushing treacle uphill. But essentially, nonetheless, we kept going and we kept going. And then there was a tipping point, I think, in 2019. Maybe it was late 2018 going into 2019 when all of a sudden we started to really tangibly see what the value would be. You know, we had actually moved from a position to a better position, and we were able to tangibly showcase that. And also we were able to put a value of sorts on that. Once we got there, it was easier for us as a program team to wrap ourselves around that narrative. And it was easy for us to go to executive leadership and then to actually see what true value looks like. And the more and more leadership engaged with that, you know, and it went way up. Essentially, what's really interesting is you see more and more people actually not just walking to the edge of the water, but actually stepping in and being more engaged. And once we'd got that type of traction and that type of momentum, I mean, really, the doors opened up and we were basically really, really, in my opinion, empowered. There was a great deal of trust that we felt as a program team now that we had achieved that kind of position. And we just seized that with both hands and really took advantage of it. And you know, one of the great satisfactions of this program is actually in every part of our business, everybody played their part. And when we talk about a filing ecosystem, it isn't just about the program of faster filing. It is about the functions. It is about leadership, and it is about the people that are on the team. So all of a sudden, the concept of an ecosystem was not kind of some sentiment. It was real. And as I say, that's why I'm so proud of the work that we've done, and I'm so proud of the achievements that have been made.
Thank you, Sam. And as you introduced process optimization, and as you introduced all new technologies and new ways of working within teams, what were the biggest obstacles you had? You know, where was the biggest pushbacks for you and for the initiative?
You know, I've been doing true transformation, big transformation, for 7 years. And the one thing I do know is that actually it's not easy. More importantly, I think it's not something that happens overnight. And I do think that, again, going back to where I'm at with this, there's installation, there's changing the way we work through, you know, processes or whatever it is. But actually, realization is actually bringing the people through the gates and having them really start to work with it and use it and engage with them and their experiences and you know, evolve over time with the users, the teams, leadership, and so forth and so on. And over time, I think true realization happens almost organically and naturally. It needs you've got to service it, and you've got to, you know, do something with it. You know, you have to manage it, for want of a better way of saying it. But actually, again, I would argue that the more time you give it to kind of naturally embed itself into the way that we do business, there will come a point in time where I might even be able to say, listen, I don't need to be in the job that I'm in because it's just how we do filings today. And that, for me, is really what transformation results in. With regards to that journey, I mean, essentially the challenge is resistance, you know, and that's mostly behavioral and mostly mindsets, you know. Process, and it's certainly bolder changes in the future along the lines of automation, for example, very different. You know, you're repurposing people's, you know, passion. You know, why did they enter our industry? Why did they choose their function, a field, an area of expertise? And essentially what bold transformation does is reimagines and repurposes their jobs, their roles. And you need to work with them in order to help them to appreciate, I believe, what that new opportunity, that new job, that new role will be for them once they, you know, start to work with it as opposed to push up against it.
Sam, if we were to step back and look at the broader transformation that healthcare is going through, how is COVID impacted or building upon or affected the work that you've done in the last number of years to reduce filing times by 50%?
I mean, I think we're just getting a suggestion of what the impact that COVID, for example, will have on filings on healthcare. There, you know, technically there are huge challenges, you know, patients, availability to, you know, just even signing up to clinical trials, you know, supplies of drugs when, you know, the manufacturing industry is essentially focused purely on what they can do to support kind of the management of COVID and the pandemic. I mean, I just to say within the context of faster filing, and I guess the filing management hub moving forwards, I mean, much of how we deliver a sustainable acceleration is through front loading of our processes. In other words, upstream, we can take care of certain work so that when essentially we get to the critical path of, you know, from database lock to actual delivery of our dossier, I mean, essentially most of the work has been done upstream. And then we know we're confident that if we apply our resources during that limited window of opportunity, that we have every confidence that we can deliver with acceleration. Now, of course, the pandemic has affected revenues and so forth and so on. And I guess we could argue that, you know, front loading everything may be more challenging when we might have to, you know, prioritize, I guess, our portfolio. So again, I think I'm kind of waiting to see what this will actually really be. But I anticipate having to adapt and evolve my area, the filing management hub, in order to support whatever changes need to happen in meeting our business needs under these unprecedented times.
If I understand correctly, you've reached an amazing milestone with that initiative and had a significant impact on patients and the whole system, reducing time by 50%. What's next for you? What is it that gets you excited now if you look across what's happening post-COVID?
Yeah. And again, I'm going to go back to the installation versus the realization. I kind of was toiling a little bit nearing the end of faster filing with regards to how would I re-energize myself again to you know, contribute and give my all wherever that was. And my aha was the filing ecosystem work is not done. Faster filing has not achieved what we intended it to achieve. And the journey that is realization, helping to increase awareness, create desire, build knowledge, increase ability, all of those good things, you know, we need to expand that somewhat beyond the program and into the business. And for me, that's realization. And you have to get really up close with the business to truly understand how that is taking place within the business. So it is complex. It needs a lot of service. And actually, you know, that's kind of where my passion is right now, is actually how can I not just install a new ecosystem, but actually my job really feels complete when I believe that actually that's simply how we do filings today. We are able to do it at 13 weeks, if not in the future, even faster with the onset of automation and so forth and so on. But again, it's not the technical journey that I'm after. It's really just the people journey. You know, it's kind of the evolution of the functions, the individuals, leadership, to a point in time where it just becomes how we do filings. And that, you know, we talk about systems awareness and systems thinking. That for me seems really, really joined up. Feels like it truly is being not just talking about being systematic, but equally also really, really connecting it so that actually together we actually really, really are delivering the benefits of, you know, this particular transformation. And of course, that keep going back to the original journey, it's a massive opportunity for increasing value within the business. But of course, you know, for many people, it means medicines reach our patients sooner. And of course, that's the most important thing.
So on the people side of this process and this drive, you mentioned mindset as the key or one of the key elements that helped you make those breakthroughs, create those breakthroughs with your team and all the people involved. How do you conceptualize mindset or mindset shift? How does it work for you? What comes to mind as you think of shifting mindset?
In a previous program that I was involved with, one of the things that they were seeking to achieve was this installing or a culture of medical compliance. And culture often is thrown around, and more often than not, in my experience in the past anyway, it's used as an excuse for why we're not able to do something and why it's acceptable that we've not been able to move the pendulum to a different direction. My experience within that particular opportunity was that actually there is method in culture. And simply putting more culture on top of already established culture is likely not going to work and is likely to fall over. And so, again, I kind of think when it comes to mindset, you almost have to put the other person's shoes on, whether it's the other person's shoes or whether it's another function or whether it's a part of the leadership team or whatever it is. You almost have to see it through their lens. I don't think you can sprint and change culture. I think it has to be a long game. It's like the marathon. And even if you get to a certain end of that marathon, there could be another marathon there. But actually, slowly but surely, you change the fabric and the culture. But of course, what you have to do is, in my opinion anyway, is be honest with what it is you're trying to change, and that is not just technical. There is obviously an emotive component to that, and invariably, if you really try to tackle that authentically, I think more people will, you know, trust you with regards to their journeys, and hopefully that will result in them actually at least dipping their toe into the water. And I think once you're in the water, you tend to navigate and move forwards.
I love it when you see people get to a level of self-confidence that they are just comfortable being themselves. And when that happens, trust follows usually pretty automatically because they do feel the authenticity that comes through. And it's especially true when people can also be open, like you just described of, yeah, maybe I haven't done this before. Maybe I still need to grow myself and to be humble about it. So those are all clearly things that have been part of your journey, and it's paid off because your influence has helped get some pretty extraordinary results. Congratulations.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you, Thomas, who's been a partner on the journey with me within Faster Filing. So I really appreciate I've really appreciated our partnership and our relationship. Thomas has been one of a great warmth for me. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you for your wonderful contribution within the pharmaceutical industry, really helping shaping the future. Thank you for making our lives more meaningful and fun and helping us to contribute. And also thank you for joining us today and helping our listeners, being able to hear you think and see what's going on in your world as you trailblaze forward. Thanks very much.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Now let's turn to Thomas and Justin for a brief reflection on the interview.
Yeah, to me, that was like meeting Sam live, right? Which has always been fun to feel his inspiration, his energy forward. That really connects with me. His energy forward. Let's shape the future. Let's put that together. That impresses me.
For me, it's the reminder that when you're doing large-scale transformation, you've got to have a level of self-confidence and a level of being at peace with yourself to hold the tension in the changes you're trying to create, because it is a journey. It isn't something that happens overnight. And there are people that have concerns for very good reasons. And until you can help them see what you see looking at the big picture, it makes sense that they're not ready to jump. And if you're not a person that really has that level of self-confidence, it's very difficult to hold the tension through that type of change. And he's done amazing at it.
Yeah, and he's real, right? This authentic to self that makes him like, you know, a pillar, a lighthouse for others to rely on, to borrow strength from in times of transformations. So to me, it's a reminder as well of that personality and character has incredible impact in large scale transformations.
And just imagine he'll have us to thank for being reminded about his helicopter experience beyond military now. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening. Our desire is to explore and contribute to the future of healthcare by applying the principles of Live with Intent.
Thank you for listening. Reach out to us on Twitter at LWI Podcast. We love your feedback, questions for the hosts, and personal experiences related to this week's topic. This episode was produced by Madeline May.